Brady Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes.
And,
don't take my line. We are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We're the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, alternative transportation, arts, culture, communications, the internet, interspersed, what have yous.
Nicely done.
Oh, well. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on another edition, another week. And we actually heard from a couple different folks, and I should recognize you and say thank you for getting in touch. I was in correspondence with Nora of the Bell Stars in Fort Collins, and she said hello and fantastic.
And Stacy.
There was a listener in Boston whose name I forgot to write down.
Phoebe.
But know that we...
Ian.
We heard you, we talked to you, and we're
in Great Britain.
Happy you're listening. And then just this morning, I think, I got a message from Seth in Fellsmere, Florida. And Seth, thank you as well for listening to us and sharing some stories and spending some time with us. So if you would like to talk to us, you can always get in touch. Our email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to call us, leave us a story. Tell us something that you've done on a bicycle, on a bus, on a train. Tell us how you've been gardening. Tell us about your... tell us about anything you want to at all. Our phone number is... And I have to look at it. I still don't have it memorized. 503-847-9774. So, yeah, we would, once again, love to hear from you. The more interactive this becomes, the more we feel like you guys are out there and we're in here. And it's not just us sitting in our basement, even though that's pretty much what it is.
So. that's fair. You know.
Yeah. We are pleased to have with us today Kate Lopresti, is that how you pronounce
it? That's it. That's
okay.
100% correct.
Yeah, yeah. And she is an author of a zine, of an independently published book. How would you describe it? Because I feel like I'm not very good at describing the whole zine thing. I'm just not in the culture.
Okay. Yeah, not at all. I would call it a self-published zine or a self-publication, something that I've written and photocopied and sent to stores myself. So it's very much a one person operation.
Yeah.
Until a couple years ago, with the help of some friends, notably Greg Means, who was at the time a zine librarian for an organization here in Portland called the Independent Publishing Resource Center.
Right. Otherwise known as the IPRC.
Otherwise known as, the good old IPRC. Yeah. And
it's really memorable.
That's right.
And Joe Beal of Microcosm Publishing. So with their help, I collected all the zines and put the Constant Rider 1-7 in what's called an omnibus. So that's a collection of the zines from the very beginning to more recently.
Yeah, which I picked up. I'm trying to remember. And Adele, here, you're in the room. You're not on mic. But I'm trying to remember when we bought. We went out to Microcosm many years back. Probably 2007. Yeah.
Okay.
Which, 3.5. That could be many years. It depends on, I guess, your perspective, your frame of reference.
You bought it at Microcosm.
But yeah, I went to Microcosm and picked up a whole slew of zines.
Oh,
I was
fantastic.
Just really excited about the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was kind of a dabbling. It wasn't really like I didn't jump in, and I'm not a regular customer. I wish I was, but the internet is so damn tempting and so convenient. So
it's true. It's
that
true.
That is one of the downsides of technology, but, at any rate, I picked up the Constant Rider because I've always enjoyed getting places from here to there in whatever method that happens to be. And just knowing that there was a recurring publication with stories of riding on buses and all the things that happen during that experience, I was really excited. So anyways, we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But that's who we have with us. When we were in correspondence, Kate, you said you're a big Pilsner fan.
Yes.
And so we once again we visited the Hopworks Urban Brewery, and we have their, let's see here. It's the Hopworks Organic Lager, which is a Czech style Pilsner. So
fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. Yes, I'm a Pilsner lover in an IPA town, so so this is a real treat.
We got to thank Adele, who
keep your head low.
Is down here once again pouring beers for us.
Yeah.
There was talk of you, Brandon, popping open a PBR and us flipping the tables, because usually, Kate, what we do is I'll drink a less desirable beer, one of the ones that's produced perhaps not so much for its flavor and qualities as much as its
potencies.
Either potencies, I enjoy a malt liquor from here from time to time, or
I believe there was a lime flavored something.
There was, what was that? It was
you had that one with clam, for God's sake.
Yeah, the Budweiser and Clamato. That was that's an experience probably not to be repeated. But anyways, here it is, and cheers.
All right, so,
pint glasses and whatnot.
Thank you.
I'm waiting for mine.
My mistake.
Oh, okay, well, do take two in a minute here.
So. Well, while Brandon is waiting to get his, just a couple of things that we that I was looking at over this past week. There's the Bike Trailer blog, which I think I've mentioned before, but they've got some video of the Austin Bike Zoo's rattlesnake. And basically what this is it's a bunch of bicycles kind of welded together into a big train. And it's just kind of for fun. It's for parades and that sort of thing. Just riding out on the roads to make people happy. And it looks like a giant snake skeleton. So you've got like the big head, and there's a guy sitting in there and pedaling on the front. And then you've got other people on the train in back, just kind of pedaling along. So we will have we'll have a link to that video for you. But that's pretty cool. Another thing, Cycle Wild is they're a local organization here in Portland, Oregon. So if you live anywhere nearby, Cycle Wild will host a number of camping trips by bicycle out to various parts around town. Kate, have you ever heard of them, or have you ever
No, they're new to me. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. I've actually never been on a trip, but I actually bumped into, I believe it's Matt Picchio. I think that's how you say his last name. I have a hard time with last names, honestly. But it's just because you don't hear him said. So he is he's the kind of the guy that runs everything with Cycle Wild. And they just released their calendar. So in February, they've got their first trip for this calendar year. And they're going out to Oxbow Regional Park, which we have done several times. It's a fantastic destination. And it's only, from where we live, it's about 25 miles or less. So it's a fantastic place to camp. It's also, there's a killer hill. It's just, it's a wonderful descent, and a great place to stay. You're right down on the Sandy River, right where it kind of, the Oxbow, I guess, it just kind of goes.
Where the Oxbow
is. Yeah, where the river curves around a big spit of land, and you can camp on that spit. And it's a fantastic, wonderfully secluded place.
How's the traffic as you're biking?
You know, it's not bad. We usually go out, I think it's Division.
Okay.
But it's, once you get outside, I mean, there's a little bit of traffic here and there.
Right.
There are country roads, and there's not a whole lot of shoulder space when you get out in the country. But there's not too much traffic, and it's usually, I think it's usually pretty easy to do. So, yeah, anyways, it's also, because you descend so quickly in the very last mile, I'm not sure how big the height is, but it's like, it's a hell of a climb. So you just have to kind of grin and bear it and be ready to do that the next morning.
Right.
But, so anyways, that's the first trip, and they've got a whole bunch of other ones coming up in the coming months and the next year. So if you're interested in that, cyclewild.org, and we'll have a link up to that too.
That's great.
The Bicycle Travel Network. This is a fantastic thing that I've just bumped into in the past couple months. They've got this thing that they just covered. They're a website that covers various things, going places and seeing things and basically, you know, going out and traveling. But the, what is it? The Cycling Silk Conservation Expedition. It's two ladies, if I'm not mistaken, that are going out and they're going to do a bunch of scientific research and that sort of thing. But they're doing it all by bicycle along the Silk Road path. The photographs on the website were absolutely phenomenal. Just, all the vast empty expanses. And it's the sort of thing that, I would love to see someday.
It'd be astounding to experience this ancient pathway.
It would. Yeah.
With a bit more of a leisurely pace.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And maybe, especially if you were a camel on the Silk Road at one point, you probably wouldn't have been no fun at all. So, anyways, we'll put that up. I think the website is www.cyclingsilk.com, we'll have a link up there as well. From bikeportland.org, thanks to Mr. Jonathan Moss. It's a fantastic video the other day, we all read the Portland Mercury. You know the Portland Mercury?
Sure.
Yes. Fine establishment, been around for a long time. the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. They do a lot of work with bicycle safety and working with kids in schools and working for the general betterment of bicycling conditions around Portland. They put out this fantastic video featuring William Humphrey from the Portland Mercury. It's the video is called "Use Lights, Wear Pants." And so you've got on the audio track of the video, you've got all these all the things that people would usually say about like, well, I don't have lights, but excuse. I should have a light, but excuse. And so they go through all these things. But in the video, instead of a light, it's just Mr. Humphrey darting about the office without pants on. and so it's basically kind of saying like, you know, riding without a light at night on a bicycle with lots of traffic is as absurd as going pantsless through the office and hoping that no one will notice or that you'll just be fine. You just kind of blend in. So
right.
It's fantastic.
Well, I've seen it. It's very well done. I mean, yeah. the timing. Yeah. It's pretty good.
So, seriously. Yeah.
Tune in.
So we'll link to that. And, let's see. There was a couple links that Mr. Moss found. There's a Washington, D.C. blogger that proposed a social contract, just talking about like the rules for bikes in a lot of places aren't necessarily they're not foolproof. They're not as good as they could be. You know, sometimes you roll up to a stop sign, you don't see anybody coming, you just kind of roll on through. If you're in Idaho, that's fine. The Idaho stop law, you know, you can coast through if nobody else is coming, if there's no traffic. In Oregon or Washington, that's, or in many other places, that's just flat out illegal. But a lot of people will do it because it's safe and nobody cares and nobody gets hurt. So anyways, situations like that, the blogger kind of did a bunch of just kind of posing these hypothetical situations saying, is this okay? Is this not okay? And he kind of laid out a couple expectations that he thought might be acceptable. Mm. So, Brennan, do you stop at stop signs? Be honest.
Some. Some. I definitely come to a good slow pace and I glance with severity in both directions.
Right.
Because I have had some close calls and I enjoy living, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. Living is a good thing and staying alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bee Gees were into that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's a certain thing like when you get to a stop sign, nobody's coming. I used to be a real hard ass about it. I used to be like, you know, because I was trained as a school bus driver. I was just like, you know, you gotta stop. That's what it's there for. But yeah, honestly, they should do something about that.
I should add that I do have not quite Spidey sense, but like cop sense.
Ooh.
Like I've had, I think, three occasions now where I know damn well that there ain't nothing coming.
Right.
And I'm like, something says I should stop, and I look behind me. And there's a fucking cop. So I'm like, hey,
always look behind.
I feel really great about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I look left, right, and behind.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be circumspect on that bicycle.
Yeah.
So we'll put a link to that story. And then there's another thing about bicycles possibly generating wind power, like little tiny turbines on the frame of your bicycle. Maybe it's just conjecture. Maybe it's awesome.
Sounds exhausting.
We will find that could be
nothing like drag. I love it.
It's true. I thought maybe were you going for a pun with exhausting, or was that just a?
Ooh,
I misread you. I'm sorry.
You are way ahead of me.
It was a terrible joke. I shouldn't have assumed that you would make it.
If you're a listener and you got that joke, send us a message.
That's right. That's right.
I got it.
Last but not least, there was an interesting article in the Oregonian. There's a guy that just covers transit news and commuting and being on the road. Joseph Rose of the Oregonian here in Portland, Oregon. And he had an interesting entry on transit seat hogs, about how you get on the bus and there's like, you know, there's two seats that it would be very easy to put two people in that seat. But there's like a bag or they're just kind of like spreading themselves out and making it kind of uninviting and not fun. So interesting article. He had some good, and there was some great debate happening in the comment section on that article as well. So we'll put a link up to that. And yeah, so that's kind of what we found in the news and on the webs this day.
Good call, man.
So yeah, from here we should probably just jump into our conversation with you, Kate, about
okay.
the about your writing and your experience on transit. So
okay.
Yeah, let's maybe just start with your selected reading.
Oh, okay, sure.
We're going to come with an article from the
a
Constant
couple,
Writer.
I called out a couple things. One is, let's see, this is from, let's see, how old was, I mean, oh, it's number two. This is Constant Writer number two. This is a story called Bonked. I'm just going to read a portion of it, but the long and the short of it is that Bonked is what happens when you haven't had enough to eat and then you do something like your exercise. Yeah, so... in a book called Cycling for Women, Bonked is described as when glycogen is depleted, you become lightheaded, dizzy, and fatigued. In cycling, we call it bonking. So
yeah.
This comes from a story about how I bonked on the Max while I was headed out to work from downtown Portland to Beaverton, where I was working at the time. So
fantastic. Not that you bonked, but fantastic that you're going to read it to us.
So at this point, let's see, I've passed out. So when I woke up two stops later at my destination, three other passengers stood over me with wide-eyed concern. What do you say to people you've never met before when suddenly you find yourself sprawled and drooling at their feet? I like your shoes. I think I said something like, hey. One of the commuters, a small woman in a hotel maid's uniform, tried to help by lifting my bike off me and pushing it out of the way. Another, a young man with an Intel badge hanging from his neck, kneeled down and asked me if I was all right. The third passenger, a kid, probably in high school or college, towered above the other two with a, whoa, dude, this is serious, expression. I looked around. I'm okay. I tried to stand up, much to the alarm of the group. Maybe you should stay put until we get you some help, said Mr. Intel. Oh, I think I should get outside. They considered the option. It was interesting to see these strangers debate what would be in my best interest. The high schooler thought getting me outside into the air would help my circulation. The Intel engineer was convinced I had a concussion and should not move until help arrived. Finally, the benefits of fresh air won over the view of staying put, and the three of them escorted me and my bike to a bench on the platform. Then a woman in a TriMet uniform appeared and gave my three helpers leave to return to the train. How are you feeling? She asked. Still a little dizzy. Well, my supervisor is on his way to help you out. I marveled at the coincidence of falling ill while a TriMet worker was riding in the same car. It's lucky for me you were on board, I said. Were you checking fares? She laughed. No, I'm the driver of this train. I turned to look behind me, and sure enough, there the Max sat in its tracks, late commuters drinking coffee, reading the paper, occasionally looking my way. The driver walked to the open doors of the train and called out to the passengers. Folks, we'll be leaving as soon as I get some help for this lady. Finally, her manager arrived in a white pickup truck with the TriMet supervisor stenciled on the doors. He parked in the drop-off roundabout and shuffled over to us. No hurry. Stuff like this happens every day. He talked with the driver for a while. She gestured to the train and to me, and I heard them trade words like dizzy and conscious and late and get going. The driver then called out to me, "Hope you feel better," and jogged to the front of the train. As it pulled away from the platform, the supervisor sat down next to me and asked how I was feeling. Woozy. Still woozy? You get any sleep last night? You eat breakfast this morning? This ever happened before? He pressed on with questions about what could have caused my blackout. I tried to answer them in a composed voice and not betray the fact that I really needed to lie down. I sat on my hands so he couldn't see them shaking. He asked me for a play-by-play of what happened. As I told him about my hot head at Goose Hollow and the dizziness that started around Sunset Transit Center, he relayed the information to whoever it was on the other end of his radio. The voice on the other end radioed back, "She still need the medic?" The supervisor asked me, "You need the medic?" Dizzy, scared, and deflated to admit it, I nodded yes. The supervisor radioed back, "Okay, we're going to need the medic." If you're wondering what a TriMet medic looks like, it's not a transit worker in a white lab coat handing out Band-Aids and aspirin. In fact, at least serving the Merlot Road stop in Beaverton, it's the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Squad in their fire engine with a MetroWet unit response team trailing behind in an ambulance. 5 or 6 good-looking, albeit mustachioed firemen circled around me and asked me what happened. You get any sleep last night? You eat breakfast this morning? This ever happened before? I was still lightheaded and hot, but perhaps that was now due in part to the sudden draft of Jakar that was surrounding me. One of the firemen took my temperature and blood pressure. Well, your temperature is at 98 degrees and your blood pressure is normal. Do you think maybe you're pregnant? The other fireman who'd been chatting with the TriMet supervisor stopped to hear my answer to this question. Disappointed when I said no, they turned back to their conversation. So that was an excerpt from the second issue of my zine. So
that's great.
About a true to life story about what happens when you get ill on the max.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's fascinating. And that's
yeah, that's one word for it.
Yeah. It's just the, like, I've never had anything bad happen to me, like medically or emotionally or any other kind of problem you could have. I've never had that happen when I've been riding the bus.
Well, but you're young.
I suppose there is still time. Yeah. I guess it's nice to know that they do have a plan in place for that sort of thing. So if you do pass out,
that's true.
You know, yeah. They've got supervisors out there. They're going to come and make sure you're okay. They'll get you to the proper authorities.
That's true. That's true. They have a lot of stuff in place. I mean, what happened to me was, you know, in the long run, it was pretty minor, and I feel pretty foolish about it.
Sure.
But yeah, they do have stuff. They see stuff every day, you know, and they do have stuff, plans in place for when things do not go as we think they should,
or yeah,
for planning for the unexpected, I guess. So yeah.
Kind of encouraging to know how overly comprehensive at least those plans are.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right, exactly, you know, and so, yeah, in retrospect, I mean, it makes a good story, I guess, but I always think back, I wish I'd asked him to call me a taxi and not a medic.
No kidding.
I don't know what I was thinking that medic was going to be like. I just figured, really, they just had somebody on staff to...
Right.
Give me the okay.
Sure, yeah. And you're not going to need, the thing jumping your heart or...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I didn't need a defibrillator and I didn't know that I was headed to St. Vincent. So, yeah, if it had been put to me that way, I would have probably said, no, I just need some toast.
Right. So. Yeah. That must have been interesting too, to watch the train pull away after kind of you had the incident and they get you off and you're just kind of there, like your travel plans are shot at that point, right?
Well, not just my travel plans, but I mean Beaverton commuters.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I mean, when that train stops, that means the one behind it and the one behind that, I mean, everything, you know. And yeah. I don't think it was all that long, but of course when it's happening to you, you think it's taking forever. And then I think the real walk of shame was having to go to work the next day, you know, and
some of the same people.
And see, yeah, exactly. I mean, because once you start commuting, you know, if you plan to be at work at a certain time every day, as other people do, you know, you tend to see the same people you commute with, you know,
yeah.
And certainly after this incident, I, yeah. So one of your questions before the show was if I'd made any connections, and the engineer who worked at Intel, I would see him all over after that, and not just on the max. And he was always really concerned about my health. I mean, he was a really sweet guy. What's that?
Did you have food today?
Well, pretty much. Yeah, I saw him once.
You're not pregnant, are you?
Oh, geez. I was so embarrassed. Well, it was funny because I think I ran into him in the library and I told him I was headed to the farmer's market. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go get some food, you know?
People who pass out don't eat.
They're notorious for not eating.
Don't eat.
Yeah, once you, yeah, yeah. So, no, and I don't. Make it a habit of bonking. Although it's interesting because I have, I've gotten into cycling in the past few years, and so I can really recognize it in other people. So I've been able to see it and give them whatever I have on hand, whether it's a Cliff Bar or some of that crazy saccharin, what is it, goop or something like that?
Gorp.
Is that what it's called?
Sure,
yeah.
You're like the person doing the mountain climbing and recognizing hypothermia before the person
exactly,
that has it does.
Exactly, yeah. So I guess it was worth it for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that reading. We should take a short break here.
Okay.
I've got a song called Girl with a Black Eye, and it's written by a guy from Seattle in a band called Explone, and it's I believe it's about seeing a girl with a black eye on a bus. So
perfect.
We'll play that for you, and we'll be back in just a moment. we are back on the Sprocket Podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Once again, if you want to contribute your voice to the program, you want to tell us your stories about riding transit or riding bicycles or riding cows or whatever it is that you do, wherever you are. You can get in touch with us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com or give us a phone call at 503-847-9774. And without further ado, we are here with Caitlin Presti, author of The Constant Rider, and I wanted to dialogue with you a bit farther about your experiences on buses. So, okay. Do you want to tell us just about getting into transit first and kind of where you started and what that was like?
Sure, yeah, I'd be happy to. So, years ago, after I'd graduated from college, my dad gave me a car, and I think a lot of people find out that a free car is never quite free. So,
right.
Yeah. So I did. I was driving a 1989 Golf for a short while, maybe a couple of years. And I just ended up sinking a lot of money into it for tire, for timing belt, trying to think what else was busted on that car. And I got,
if a car is free, it's going to.
Exactly. There's no such thing.
Bill of goods,
you know?
I think, is what they call it.
And I would always complain about the car. And one mechanic said, I don't know what you're complaining about because this is maintenance, you know? And I was like, oh,
right.
What?
For real?
It's not even a lemon, you know? It's just right. The stuff that a car needs when it gets so old. So, at one point, the car needed a new transmission. And I said, that's it. I'm done with this car. So I gave it back to my dad, who eventually gave it, you know, had it fixed and sold and whatnot. And then I started looking for a new one. And, I mean, this was a couple years out of college. You know, I was getting a grip on my college debt. I was starting to save some money. And I was looking at my savings going all to a new to me used car. And I was just thinking, I can't do this. This is crazy. You know, I'm was in a student in the same town and I hadn't needed a car for 4 years. You know, there's a bus that goes to my workplace. There's no reason, you know?
Sure.
So I just went carless and then I got a little bit into biking. And then I guess a couple of years after that I moved out to Portland and there was even less of a need. So, I haven't had one since, although, I am a member of Zipcar,
which is a fantastic organization.
Yeah, yeah. So when I need a car, I'm able to rent it for the few hours for whatever reason. For example, I was doing some plantings recently in my neighborhood, tree planting. I got a truck, a pickup truck to, you know, for supplies. I mean, so I had that for four hours and I was able to give the car back. So I don't have to worry about maintenance. You know, I don't have to worry about gas. I just, you know, use it, you know, for the few hours a month that I need it. So I'm down on car ownership. So
definitely.
I shouldn't say down on, but, you know, I've sure. lived without one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you're very, very well equipped to live without one.
Yeah, exactly.
So at the time that you started riding the bus instead of driving, was that really counter to your culture that you'd grown up with? Like, was it a big step for you? Or,
you know, kind in a sense, because I think prior to that, I'd probably ridden the bus in high school. And once you get your driver's license in high school, there's a certain cachet in being able to drive to school, at least where I was growing up. So certainly,
and the parking lot is where everything happens.
Yeah,
right?
pretty much. Yeah. So you know, as I got older, in high school, you tried to either find a ride with somebody or get your parents' car. You know, so I kind of got out of the busing system once I started driving. Then when I was in college, again, it was just the campus where I was at. The University of Wisconsin at Madison. Everything I needed was a walk away. There was no reason. But when I started riding the bus, it was a little bit different. I was working and majority of my coworkers drove. So I think I looked a little bit odd. commuting by bus wasn't, at the time anyway, wasn't super popular.
Sure.
Even though the bus ran by our workplace, but so I just started doing it then. And then, once I got to Portland where the infrastructure, things aren't as spread as far apart as in other cities. So there are more buses, but there are also more places to go by bus that,
right.
You know.
And this town was, the city was, it expanded at the time, not of like the automobile or the pedestrian, but like the streetcar. So it was it's able to cope with like a lot of drivers and a lot of walking as well. Like when you hang out on the east side, like you can walk 10 blocks north or south and you're always going to hit some sort of place that you might enjoy being.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Everybody can kind of roll here.
Yeah.
Or mosey.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly, exactly. There's a book called, I think it's in a book called Suburban Nation, where they talk about, and I may be, you know, kind of paraphrasing here, but they talk about the 24-hour neighborhood, you know, and I think one of the reasons people don't have good bus service in their town is because why, you know, there are certain places, the way zoning is set up, where you only need to go to an office park between the hours of 9 and 5. You only need to go to a school between the hours of, you know, 8 and 3, you know. So, and because of the zoning, these functions are very far apart from each other. So how does a bus company service all of them? Whereas in Portland, you can run the same line down Belmont and hit a hospital and hit a church and hit businesses and hit restaurants and hit movies. You know what I mean? The same bus can, at any time of day, get you to someplace worth going. You know?
Which is pretty unique, I think, maybe compared to other cities. I mean, I've been to a fair number of cities, and not everything is as accessible, I would say, as where we live now. But yeah, just being able to mix all of those things in and
absolutely
have
absolutely.
Like a walkable neighborhood where you can go to the store and you can go to the hospital if you need to.
Sure.
And
yeah.
All of those things are close to your home.
Which gives us both utility and like the sheer surprise of what you're going to experience when you're on the bus. Like, it's not just all the same people checking their BlackBerries. That might happen, but
yeah, right. It's funny because I have some friends who, I mean, I'm very much a foodie here in Portland, and you know, I'm always interested in new places that are opening up and places that have different happy hours and stuff like that. And I have one friend who commented that she was really surprised that I knew of all these places because I didn't have a car. And I just that was
how
so counterintuitive to me, because when you're
know
in
about the internet and where to go.
Well, but I think when you're in a car, that's precisely why you don't know what these places are. You know, I mean, granted, a bus can stop every 2 to 4 blocks, but at that point, you're like, wow, what did I just see recently? Just biking over here, actually. There was an old Arby's at the corner of Woodstock and 52nd.
Right, which is destroyed
that's
now.
That's being destroyed right now. So I'm really curious to see what that's going to be. You know what I mean? Had I been in a car to get over here, I doubt it would have fazed me unless I'd been at a red light. You know?
Sure.
So
you might not even have come that way if you had
absolutely,
a car,
honestly. Yeah, yeah, right. That's another good point.
I think it's going to be a 7-Eleven, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
yeah, for God's sake.
Well,
you know.
With
I wanted it to be a drive-through pizza place.
Right. Because you
can make like a wood-fired pizza in 90 seconds.
There you go.
And so by the time you get to the window, you can get a great gourmet pizza.
That would be nice. Yeah.
So that was my idea. But I have good ideas, but I don't do things about it. So,
yes, okay. I was going to say, you need to be writing up a business plan.
Yeah,
That's right. Brandon's he's a bit of an entrepreneur, I would say.
I'll give ideas and pass them to other people.
There we go.
Oh, I see. A think tank.
I'll make that one free.
Yes, exactly. That one's free. If you wind up following up with that idea, you should totally invite me over for pizza.
Right. Just, and send him a bottle of whiskey.
There you go.
Yeah. Or something.
Yeah.
Bourbon.
Yeah. So Kate, tell me a little bit about, you've done a fair amount of bus riding in your day. How would you describe and what have you seen of transit culture? Because it seems like there is maybe a cultural difference between people who ride the bus and people who might choose other modes like driving.
Oh, good question. Well, and these are just observations and some generalizations, but
that's a good disclaimer. And even as I asked the question, I realized like all kinds of people ride the bus. So you can't just be like, well, it's all, this kind of person. But
right. But I do think a lot of people take the time out to read, which I think, and I'm guilty of this as well, that when I don't take the bus, I do lose out on that reading time, you know?
Right.
So I think a lot of people take that time of the day just to have a book, whether, you know, and some people, you know, the bus I take, it takes me over to, it goes to PSU eventually. So there's a ton of people doing their homework, which is, you know, or reading, you know, class assigned reading, people reading the paper. You know, then there are, I mean, granted, there's a lot of iPods, there's a lot of people, you know, texting and stuff like that.
Sure.
So one thing that I think Portland stands out, which I'd never really considered until my brother-in-law made fun of us, but he lives in Madison. One of the things that struck him is the number of people who say thank you when they get off the bus.
Right. Oh, I remember noticing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Riding. Which it occurred to me, you know, I guess other places I've been, they don't, you know, you don't necessarily do that, you know, and I don't do it all the time, but I'm certainly guilty or not even guilty, but yeah, I will, especially if there are a few people on the bus or the only people or I'm the only one getting off, I'll often say thank you.
Right.
And my brother-in-law, that just cracked him up that you would even, you know, that you would call out that you would, you know, yeah. I think so. some people, when they first ride a bus, the last thing they want to do is draw attention to themselves. So the idea of calling out thank you as you're leaving the bus just to him, he would die of embarrassment. Why would you do that? Yeah.
And I don't know, like in Boston, for example, I've done a fair amount of transit riding in Boston, and I don't think transit in Boston is the thing where like you don't talk to anybody. Like you get on, you get off. It's a solitary experience.
Exactly. And I think in some places, and I want to say New York City, although I haven't been there in a long time, but I want to say that it's not even permissible for drivers to speak while they're driving.
That sounds right. I don't remember where it was, but I do remember hearing about certain places, and it probably was New York, where the driver is encased in like a plexiglass thing, kind of like a bank teller, where they don't talk to you, don't talk to them, you don't touch them, there's no possible contact.
And I understand that. I mean, drivers here certainly, I mean, it's a mixed bag. You know, some people are more than willing to help you out if you need a place, need to know where your stop is. But they are busy. I mean, and you know, I'm someone who doesn't like to drive necessarily, so I can understand why you wouldn't want to be interrupted while you're driving a bus and, you know, watching out for traffic.
And they have to deal with a lot of difficult people, so
they often treat you as probably
a difficult person.
Exactly. Right.
There's
like
a line alone.
I mean, when you combine driving with the idea of customer service, I mean, how does that even happen? That's just, you know, that is a real challenge. And I'm not even...
That's a recipe for drug addiction.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It's a stressful job.
Yeah.
So my advice to some people, you know, if you don't know what's going on, don't be afraid to ask the person at the stop or another passenger. You know, by all means, ask the driver. If you find the driver to be gruff, you know, give that driver some space and maybe find someone else on the bus.
Do you have examples in your times of gruff drivers?
Gruff barkers, drivers.
Maybe?
Well, one time I got yelled at because I was waving for the bus to stop. And when it didn't stop, I screamed at it. And so she did stop. And then she said, "I don't know what you're screaming about when you waved me on." And I said, "There are signs that say, wave for your bus, you know, like when it's late at night, you know." And I was just ridiculous. And I was just embarrassed the next time I saw that driver.
Sure.
But, you know,
there's a big difference between waving like left to right at the bus and like doing the
go ahead. Wave. Yeah, exactly. So it was real contentious about what my hand gesture was exactly. So anyway,
it's amazing just the different kinds of people you bump into and all the different temperaments kind of expressing themselves more or less exactly as they see fit.
Yeah.
Have you ever had really good interactions with drivers? Like, have you ever had like regular drivers that you got to know or people that we're just
that's
angels
a good
in disguise?
Question. You know, with any regularity, I took the max at a certain time, and that's kind of a downside. Is that, you know, on the max, you never get to meet your driver. You know
that's
what I
true.
Mean? So
they
I
are
never
locked
had that.
Away in the bulletproof case.
Pretty much. You know, which I guess, you know, to a certain extent, that's probably for the best. But I have, my mom is in town and she no longer drives. And so, she has some regular bus drivers who I'm super, super thankful for because they realize, you know, some people need a little more extra time where the kneeling bus, as they call, you know, that lowers themselves to them, which is really fortunate. There is, when I do, I take the Southeast 17 Holgate bus, into town to get to work. And there's one driver, he recognizes me. So if he sees me running and I'm maybe half a block down, he'll stop, you know, thankfully.
You got a little bit of leniency with him.
A little bit,
just a tiny bit.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So nothing I want to abuse, you know. So.
Sure, yeah. And I suppose that's the sort of thing where a relationship and a friendship only goes so far. And
exactly,
eventually
yeah.
the schedule
yeah.
will win out.
They're on a schedule. Exactly. So
Transfers, is that something you've, I'm sure, become adept at?
You know, I am a bus pass lady, baby.
Yeah, it's a great thing. I actually have one too through my job, and it works out really nicely.
It is fantastic. Yeah,
it's great not having to worry about like having change or having a ticket,
exactly,
or validating your fare.
Oh
or
yeah,
however
yeah,
that
exactly,
works.
Exactly. And in the case of trying to signal a bus to get you down, I usually flash my pass. You know, like I'm all that.
So. It's got the holographic. Kind
exactly.
Of
yeah, shines in the light.
Sheen.
Yes, exactly. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should just jump into I was really interested if there's someone listening who says, you know, I really like the transit idea, but I'm not sure how to start. you had mentioned with like, you know, if you need information, ask and become social.
That was a
good idea. I hadn't thought about that until you brought it up, but the idea that like this really is kind of not only an exercise in being in public space and using perhaps a more sustainable mode of transportation, but it really is being around people and learning how to kind of exist in a society where we've kind of shut ourselves off from that experience.
Right. And the other thing is that drivers tend to change their routes periodically. And so oftentimes you'll ask a driver for maybe you're looking for a certain business for a stop that you want to get off at. And oftentimes they won't know whether they're new to the route or, you know, the routes extend, you know, pretty far east and west. So it's, you know, while a majority of people, you know, or drivers rather will understand where it is you're going. Sometimes you're just going to have better luck with someone who rides that bus every day than you are with the driver who may be new to the route or the time that you're driving, or excuse me, the time that he or she is driving. So, it can definitely be a mixed bag by talking to the people at your stop. But I found that if you're wanting to know where to go, sometimes it's really helpful to ask the people who are riding that same bus.
Sure.
So, and, just from my own experiences, I've had people ask me, you know, a big stop downtown is the courthouse. You know, you'll get a lot of questions about where's the courthouse. So, you know, it's easy enough to tell somebody that. But we're also very fortunate in this electronic age. You know, a lot of bus companies have their routes and times online.
Yeah. And more of them are as time goes on.
Exactly. So, exactly.
And TriMet is like ahead of the curve in that
really
regard.
Is.
Like
it really
global
is.
Standards of like, I think we've open sourced our entire.
It's
like
true.
Time
is that right?
System, yeah.
Yeah.
So anybody who wants to make an app,
or
what have you,
can
magicify that.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, that's a great way to start up conversations at a stop. Is anyone who's got a cell phone that has just called in and and entered the digits of that stop to see what time the bus is coming? That's a great segue for So what time is the bus coming?
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And then TriMet has a 238 ride is the phone number here in Portland to call when you need help. And I haven't called in a while. I'm not sure if you get
there's also a
help
a text option as
Oh, is that right?
So, you can just text your stop ID.
Just in the past couple
of
years, because I remember,
a lot of
I remember thinking that would be a really helpful thing, especially since if you're waiting on the phone, sometimes that's a tricky, it takes a while to get through all the menu options and everything.
Right.
And if you just want a simple piece of information, like when is this bus coming next?
Right.
Yeah. The texting, if you have a cell phone, which I don't.
Yeah. I know.
Then
an excuse to talk to
that's
people
true.
At the stop.
That's true.
272-99 If you'd like to ever text TriMet to know what your transit ID is.
Oh, great.
That's right.
Oh,
your
great.
Next arrival
you
is 272-99 and just your stop ID.
Yeah, that's and that spells RIDE, those last four digits, if I'm not mistaken.
They're very witty,
yeah.
You see.
Yeah,
well,
see?
Before we wrap up, what are some of the craziest things you've ever seen? Like just other people. You have a great anecdote in, was it a series of anecdotes about the crazy guy on the 14? maybe crazy is an uncharitable term.
Which crazy guy on the 14, for God's sake?
A very unique individual.
It's true. Well, it's true. You do run into some people. And I should say, you know, this shouldn't discourage anyone from riding the bus by any means. my friends tell me that I'm unique and that I'm a magnet for some of the crazier things that happen on the bus.
And
when I hear that question, it's kind of interesting because one time I couldn't think of anything. And then I realized it's not that I haven't seen anything crazy. It's just that the longer I ride, the more normal it's, you know, these outbursts are beginning to seem, you know, so. But my goodness. Yeah. Well, right now the latest that happened last week, so I'm taking a couple classes at PSU in the evening. And, when I wait for my bus, this is probably after 9 o'clock. So it's late and buses are only coming every about 20 minutes. And there's a guy who dances while he waits for his bus, you know, young man, you know, probably in his early 20s and doing kind of the wave, the little pop lock action, you know, not quite full on the floor breakdancing, but and this can be 20 minutes. I mean, this isn't like a 2 minute outburst. This is like a consecutive, you know, I don't know if it's routine or just, you know, he's got something great on his iPod or what have you, but that's the latest. But
he's practicing his moves.
Practicing his moves. He's going to be big. He's going to be big wherever he goes. So
everything but spinning.
Style of Simon Cowell.
Exactly. So I'm trying to think of the 14. I think this is a young man. A drunken three parts. So this was a young
man
who
that was a fantastic.
Well, thank you. So, Yeah, it was. I saw this gentleman on the corner of Southwest 5th and Salmon while I was waiting for the 14. And he was drunk. And then I saw him a few days later. I think it was just funny because I saw him like three times in that same month. And he was doing something crazy each time.
And
he was
like always inebriated.
Always inebriated, trying not to pay for his fare. yeah, exactly. He got in a fight with the driver because he was just, I mean, he was kind of funny in that, you know, he was milking as long as he could, you know, the idea of looking for his transfer, looking
sure.
for change.
Like
you
he's going to get like two or three
just
stops
like,
down the line.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. He was going to get closer to his destination without paying. So, yeah, by the end of that ride, we all got the bus had to stop, I think. And yeah, police cars came and we all had to get on another bus. And yeah, exactly. So I haven't seen him in a long time. So,
yeah. I remember I was on the line 75 one night, just coming home from work, and there were three guys that were on the back of the bus, and one of them, I think, probably lit up a joint, and they were being loud and raucous, and you know, everybody was kind of doing that, like there were no Todd Beamers in this situation. They were just kind of like hoping it would go away.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, eventually the bus stopped right at the roundabout on Gleason, and it's now Caesar Chavez. We used to be 39th Avenue.
It's also on Gleason.
Excuse me, it's Glisten, according to our pronunciation scholar.
I got a book from the library about that shit, man.
But anyways, at that point, I think the Portland police came on,
and
he walked back. You know, I was sitting like right behind the person who was probably the chief offender among the crowd of people, and the cop hops on the bus, and he's like, well, I know you. I've seen you before. Come on.
Oh no.
Get off the bus.
Oh no.
And that was the end of that. But yeah, it was like we were sitting for maybe 10 or 15 minutes before the police caught up to us and they had to deal with that.
But yeah. Yeah.
It was exciting.
Yeah, it'll happen. Yeah. 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 It's pretty funny. Yeah. The 75 that runs down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chavez or Southeast 39.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I've heard actually someone here in town said that, at least as of a couple of years ago, the line 75 was the hipster bus.
Oh, is that right?
Because there are certain.
Oh, because it goes down to Reed.
It does go down to Reed, and it goes up to.
It goes along Killing. No.
Eventually, it goes to St. John's. Yeah. But, anyways, it's
interesting.
It was the one where, at least in her part of town, she was like, "Well, they all, you know, they're all the hipsters ride that one."
Oh, is that right?
So, if they want something different, they should just do the 72.
It's true. The 72 has, and that's the one I take most often, and that that is probably. That's probably the most consistent sample of most other transit systems system-wide,
is
I think.
Is this 82nd?
Yeah, down 82nd Avenue.
It's a slice of life.
Yeah.
It's a slice of life, yeah.
Yeah. It's not the cool part of town. For anyone who doesn't live in Portland and is curious about what that's about, it's... yeah.
It's the part of Portland that's like the rest of America. No. Is that too mean? I'm so,
that's terrible, Brendan.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe you'd say that. It's
me.
Fine.
Yeah, the rest of America is...
Don't be that harsh on yourself.
Yeah.
It's just a mistake.
Used car lots and...
Hookers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And well, I've never seen a prostitute down there, but it's been known to happen, I guess. So
there's a lot of motels.
There are. There's
That's
a lot.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. Yes.
Well, anyways,
sorry, America.
As we wrap up here, Kate, you had one more reading you'd like to do.
Oh,
you
want
to give
us time.
A little bit of that?
So this is just a short reading. So, you know, as part of my writing, I was, you know, kind of down on myself about my descriptions. And I said, okay, I'm just going to focus on passengers and, you know, kind of just come up with better descriptions because I think I was, you know, kind of everything was sounding the same to me for a while. So I had a challenge that for a month I was going to look at writers and kind of jot down, you know, who they were and what they were reading. So this is it's again from the Constant Writer Omnibus. This one is from the number 4 zine, so the fourth in the collection. So I'll just read a couple out here. So the time is July 17th, 3:25 p.m. The route, 50 South Merlot Road, sex female. Age, late 50s, skirt length, early 20s. White hair and a Peter Pan cut, reading glasses, black nylons, white crochet sandals. A short woman. She swung her feet 3 inches above the floor of the bus while she lost herself in Whisper of Evil by Kay Cooper. Time, July 17th, 4:35 p.m., route, 14 Hawthorne. Male, late teens, brown corduroy cargo pants, black t-shirt, short hair, slight acne. Bored and embarrassed to be carrying the Burgerville team member training manual. Time, July 19th, 8:55 a.m., route, max. Male, late 20s, funky headphones, and portable mini disc player. See, some of this stuff is so dated. There's a mini disc player that appears in here.
There are some music reporting enthusiasts that still insist upon them.
It's true.
Oh, so it might not be as old as
well,
I make it out to be.
Well, he probably wasn't recording anything.
Visibly uncomfortable as I tried to get a good look at the cover of From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler by E.L. Konigsberg, he shoved the book into a blue Eastpak backpack and pulled out a thick tome from the Penguin Classic series, possibly Thomas Mann. Time, August 12th, 7:35 a.m., route, max to Hillsboro. A redhead with freckles in painter's pants with speckles. This man was a diehard 49ers fan, as indicated by the insignia on his hat, worn backwards, and a sweatshirt. From his back pocket hung a wallet chain. In addition to his redline BMX bike, quote, "I'm just doing my part for the environment," he traveled with his boombox. When he wasn't asking other passengers for the time, which he did every 10 minutes, he read with his sunglasses on, Beginning Glass Blowing by Edward T. Schmid. So
that's fantastic.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you both. So for people who want to get some more of your writing and check it out, you have a website. It's
theconstantwriter.com. Yep. And it will direct you to Microcosm Publishing for this and other fine zines.
Yeah. And is it microcosm.com or I can't remember how we
I
get
I think
there.
It might be microcosmpublishing.com.
Or you can just Google it.
That's right. Yeah. Anyways.
For the win.
Theconstantwriter.com is where you can find Kate Lopresti and her fine collections of writings. If you are interested in obtaining a copy of The Constant Writer Omnibus, which contains much of Kate Lopresti's writing, we have a donate button on our website. If you want to toss us a couple bucks for shipping, we'll stick one of those in an envelope and send it to you wherever you might be. So, yeah, go to thesprocket.podbean.com. You can send us your cash there, and we will drop this in an envelope, and you can read all the stories that Kate has written about public transportation. What did you think of the Hopworks?
I love it. Hooray for Pilsner. Yeah, exactly.
It's a fantastic beer, I thought.
Thank you. Thank you. Cheers. And Brandon did get his, for those of you who are on the edge of your seats.
And I really enjoyed it, too. Yeah. The head carries all the hop notes in it.
Yeah.
And so the first pour, like, all the nose stays with you there of what you want. So I was thrilled as someone who likes little surprises in a Pilsner that can easily just sort of flatten out.
Yeah.
Okay. Keeping its life throughout is a joyous thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, I'm a big PBR fan when I don't have money, but this stuff was actually, like, it was like PBR, but if you, like, doubled its width and textures and all the...
Fucking A, man.
Yeah, I felt like I was living the higher life with this thing, so... Anyways, we should wrap this up. You can find us on the internet at... thesprocket.podbean.com. Send us feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, or drinks. Write us with email. thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com is our address. And like I said, call and leave us a message. Tell us what you've been up to and what your simple life looks like. The number is 503-847-9774, and you'll find a place there to leave it's me. It's just a little voicemail greeting thing. So, thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. This has been the Sprocket Podcast. My name is Brock Dennis.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes.
And we will see you next time around.
Hasta luego.